Baruchim Abraham Rabotai, welcome to a special edition of our Shiur in the En Yaakov. We have diverted the topic, meaning that we're almost finished Berachot, and we've accepted upon ourselves to try to make a comprehensive pirush to the tefillah. Specifically to the Amidah, to Tefillat Shemona Asre. The idea actually came not from myself, although I'm thrilled to be doing it. A very good friend of mine, a friend of Klal Yisrael, a very good precious Jew, approached me a while back and said that was his wish if he could sponsor a series of lectures in honor of the tefillah, something he felt was neglected, and in honor of a great tzaddik. I'd just like to talk about that tzaddik once for a few minutes tonight, in order that all these lectures, Be'ezrat Hashem, will be lichbodo and the zecher nishmato. The great rabbis from Morocco, I don't know if you are aware, but there are many, many tzaddikim, spanning from 50 years ago to 100 years ago to 300 years ago to 500 years ago. Chachmei Morocco have a very, very rich, rich history and heritage. We all are familiar with the famed Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Ben Chaim Ben Attar, the great Moroccan rabbis, as well as hundreds and hundreds of others. The again famed Abu Hasera dynasty, which is very well known, and again other great tzaddikim. Today, if you go to Morocco, you can visit tzaddikim in the north, in the center, in the south, from the greatest world class scholars. Ba'alei Nisim, Ba'alei Moftim. It's interesting to know. It is Israel, we expect to have such cemeteries that host the greatest tzaddikim. But Morocco rivals it is Israel in the sense there's so many different places where a person could visit. I know one of my colleagues, Rabbi Pesach Kron, this year accepted upon himself, I think this summer, to make a trip to Morocco to visit the graves of the tzaddikim. He did it in Europe to visit all the graves of the European tzaddikim, and it was a great success. And he feels that there's enough to do, and there's more than enough to do. He's going to need to make several trips in order to cover the landscape to visit all these great tzaddikim. And many of you know also, I travel several times already to go visit some of the great Kevarot and Tzaddikim of Morocco. There was a great rabbi that lived about 500 years ago. They referred to him, his name was Rabbi David Umoshe, Zecher Tzaddik Mekadosh Levracha. He originally came from Sfat. He came to Morocco and he was in like the Atlas Mountain area. And the story goes is that there was a plague of some sort where many Jews were dying, and he went into his room and he accepted upon himself to be a korban for Klal Yisrael, and he was mosir nefesh for the people, and he died in the city of Aguim. It's not a city, it's a village. You need to go there by donkeys. And it was a miraculous death. He died on Shabbat Kodesh, but the second he was died, the grave was there already, and the cemetery, everything was done. They don't know exactly how that was possible, but obviously he was a Baal Mofet. There are many stories told how those that go to the Kever, you can't take pictures of them. Either the film will get lost, or the camera breaks. Somebody told me as an eyewitness that he went with somebody with a digital camera, and they put the camera towards the Kever and it just was black. You didn't see anything on the other side. Now, these are stories of the tzaddikim. Another fellow told me, for some reason, those that go to the kibbutz, if a lady is nida, she will not be able to come close to the kibbutz. The wind will come, the wind starts to blow, and they all know somebody was in nida, you have to go away. The wind starts blowing as if the tzaddik pushes the nida away. Okay? There was one story of a lady that she never went to the mikveh. She went to get a beracha from the tzaddik. On the way up there to the kibbutz, the car broke down. She didn't get to go, so she went back to France where she lived. She ended up getting a beracha from Rabbi Pinto, and the rabbi told her you have to start going to mikveh. So she started to go to mikveh. She had a child eventually, so she went back to this Rabbi David Moshe to see if she can get there this time. This time she got to the kibbutz and she started to shake. She said, this is where the kibbutz is. Says her car broke down 300 meters before the kibbutz. At that time she was nida. The tzaddik did not allow it to appear. This time she went to the mikveh ready. She was teura. She was able to come close. Many stories of the Arab population. One of the Arabs once called one of the Jews and said, something very strange happened last night by the kibbutz of Rabbi David Moshe. There's a synagogue that they built. When they make the hilulah, there's a synagogue where they pray. The hilulah is Rosh Chodesh Hashvan. That's his yotzei. But he said last night the shul was filled and we heard people praying and the lights were on and we heard tefillot. We went, nothing there, nobody's there, but we're... So something was going on. There was nothing last night. It's not the hilulah. Nobody's there. It's a remote area. That was the night before the Six-Day War. Kaner'eh, Min Shamayim, things were taking place with the great Tzaddikim, as we believe, that they do come down and pray for Klai Yisrael. In any event, we hope that these shiurim that we're going to give on the Amidah will be the Einu Nishmato, the Zecher Nishmato, the Chvod Nishmato, the Zechut Abi David and Moshe, Yagen Aleinu. It should be Magin on the sponsor of these Shi'urim, and it should be Magin on all those that are attending the Shi'ur. But Zechut HaTzadik Yagen Ba'adenu, it should be a Melit Yosher for us, it should be an advocate for us. Amen. That Kadosh Baruch Hu Yemale Kol Mishalot Benu Letoba Ve'Tikubal Tefilatenu Beratzon. Amen. Now back to the business. Our purpose in these classes is twofold. It's not just to come along and serve as a Webster's Dictionary to explain to you what the words of the Amidah mean. Hagadol, great, Hagibor, strong, Vanora, awesome, El Elyon, the one that's very high, Koneh HaKol, the one that owns everything. If you want to do that, we can do the Amidah in... Give me 30 minutes, I'll give you a word for word, you'll take out your pens, you'll mark each thing, and I guarantee you your Amidah will be just as monotonous as it was before this class. You will not benefit anything just by knowing Webster's meanings of words. That's not the way that you're going to succeed in your revitalizing your tefillah. Granted, in our shiurim we're going to have to explain every word, but it's more to create the concepts, to create the behind the scenes, to understand what you're doing, so you can appreciate each section of the Amidah. Last week, I hope we were successful to appreciate Adonai Sefatai Teftach Ofi Yagid Tehillatecha. We get excited now when we get to that section of the Amidah. To interpret the words, it's easy. Hashem, God, Sefatai Teftach, open my lips, Ofi Yagid Tehillatecha, my mouth will speak your praises. That's the easy part. But the excitement behind that line, obviously you need to give haktamot, introductions, and development. The Baal Shem Tov had a famous chiddush when it came to tefillah. You know, there's a pasuk by Noah when he built the teva. So it says, Sohar ta'aseh la teva. Tachtiyim, Shiniyim, Shilishim, Ta'asena. Sohar literally means make something bright for the teva. Tzuar, either a window or avanim tovot, something to illuminate the teva, and make it three levels: tachtiim, shiniim, u'shlishim. Baal Shem Tov explained this pasuk referring to tefillah. The words of tefillah are called a teva. Teva is a word. So he said, the word needs to go from this world, Olam Asiyah, and it needs to get wings and go all the way up to the top worlds. So when you say the world, you need to infuse it with such a koach and such an energy and such passion that the word would be able to fly up to the upper worlds. So he said, when you pray the Amidah, you have to believe that. That's a concept that every word you say, you have to say it with so much fervor. You have to picture that the word itself, in his lashon, there's olamot in each word, there's neshamot in each word, and there's elokut in each word. There's worlds, there's souls, there's godliness. And when a person says the word with tremendous kavanah, you're pushing it out of you, so to speak, and you're picturing that every tefillah that you say, tefillah is one of the pillars of the world. Ashrosha devarim ha'olam omed ala Torah v'ala avodah v'al gimut chasadim avodah zu tefillah. Now therefore these words over have tremendous kohot. You have to think every word itself, even if you don't know the full kavanot, even if you're just saying the words themselves, but every word you're infusing in it kohot, and that they're flying and they're going up to the upper worlds, all the world way up, and they're doing tremendous tikkunim. Whether you know what it's doing or not doesn't matter. The words themselves, the 22 letters of the alphabet, have the koach. That's why in the Amidah, somebody said, what's the most important of the Berakha, the Amidah, is the word Atta. You'll notice, almost all the Amidot, we always start with Atta, the main Berakhot. After the first three Berakhot. Atta Honen Adam Da'at, that's the beginning of the middle section of the Amidah. On Friday night, the beginning of the Amidah, Atakidashta, Atta.
Atakadosh.
No, not Atakadosh, wrong. I'm talking about after the three Berachot, where we start the main section of the Amidah. During the week, it's Atachonen Adam Da'at. Friday night, it's Atakidashta. In Mincha of Shabbat, it's Atta Echad. The Hakamim, on purpose, wanted the Amidah to start, the middle part to start with Atta, and every Barakah has an Atta in it. Besides the name Hashem, every Barakah has Baruch Atta Hashem, Honen Adad, Baruch Atta Hashem. It's one of the most prevalent words in the whole Amidah. The Zohar HaKadosh says, because Atta stands for the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 letters, Aleph to Taf, and 5 Sofiyot, Mansafach, Mem Sofit, Nun Sofit, Sadi Sofit, Pe Sofit, Chav Sofit. Therefore, Ata is Aleph through Taf, and He is Keneged Otiyot Mansafach. And therefore, the Zohar HaKadosh says, every time you say Ata, you're already reminding yourself that these letters over here that I'm saying, that were written by Chazal and Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, they're infused in it so much power. It's a treasure, which the Gemara says, Devarim ha'amdim berumo shel olam. Prayer is something that stands on the highest echelons of the world. And therefore you have to infuse it like the Baal Shem Tzov said, with olamot and neshamot and elakut, and it has to come out of your body with tremendous kolachta, that it should fly up to the heavens. So that's what he says. He says in the pasuk. He says in the pasuk, tzohar. Tzohar means brightness, light, clarity. You know where the brightness has to be put? Ta'aseh la'teva. Put it in the word. Put it in the word. Put it in the word of the tefillah, that it should have what? Tachtiyim is keneged the olamot, and shiniyim is keneged the neshamot, and shilishim is keneged elakut. Tzohar ta'aseh la'teva. Don't say the word with lackluster. Don't say the word in an ordinary way. Every word you have to massage. You have to cherish the word. You have to cuddle the word. Every word Na'amida you have to say, not to swallow the word, because each word is placed there, not by coincidence. Everything is measured. Everything is numbered. For example, the first Beracha Na'amida. If you count from Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoteinu Elokei Avraham to the end Magen Avraham, there's 42 words. Keneged Shem Mem Bet. God has a certain Shem. I don't know what it means even, but there's different Shemot made up of different configurations. One of the Shemot is called Shem Mem Bet, whatever it is, but it's a holy name. So the first Beracha Na'amida, they even counted the words, so you'll say exactly 42 words. But if a person is going to swallow 41, 39, so now you missed the whole Kavanah. Even though you don't know what you're having Kavanah for. It doesn't matter, you don't have to know. Hashem finishes the Kavanah for us. Hashem Yigmor Ba'adi. The first Beracha begins with Bet, Magen Abraham, and ends with Mem. Mem Bet. Keneged Shem Mem Bet. So there's a lot of things that are underneath. Remember what I told you last week? Ufi Yagid. There's the superficial, the Yagid. There's what's underneath the terminologies. So, what's needed for us is to say the Amidah with Hitlahavut. With the belief system that many things are happening. That the words are creating Olamot, and things are going, and stuff is happening, and the world is existing because of it. And every time you say Atah, you're reminded, Aleph Tataf with Heotiot Man Safach. Just say the words, say the words. Now, of course, if you understand what you're saying, they fly much higher. That's the Tzohar Ta'asila Teva. That the Teva shouldn't be raw. The Teva shouldn't be dry. The word shouldn't be dark. Tzohar Ta'asila Teva. Make it light. Make it illuminate. Make it have a tremendous brightness. The Koah of Tefillah is very great. Sefer Hasidim writes that the main part of the Tefillah is the lev, the hamana li baba'i. The excitement of it, your heart, the expression. It's a workout, Tefillah, it's a workout. Avodah shebalev, it's avodah. It's an exercise of the heart. It shouldn't be something that's boring or something that's a drudgery. Sefer Hasidim tells a story to show you what is even the heart of tefillah. There was a shepherd. He didn't know how to pray. He didn't even know how to read. He had a custom to pray to God every day. What was his prayer? He would say, Ribbono shel Olam, I'm a shepherd. I take care of sheep all day long. Do you know, Hashem, if you were to give me your sheep to watch, normally I charge people. But you, I wouldn't charge. Because I love you. That was his prayer. And we say this prayer, heartfelt prayer every single day. So even though I charge everybody, but if you had sheep and you were to give me your sheep to watch, I'm telling you, Hashem, no charge. Because I love you. That was the tefillah. So one rabbi came and heard him making this tefillah. Are you crazy? What kind of tefillah is this? And he taught him the Amidah. The farmer was simple. He forgot the Amidah after a couple of times. He couldn't remember it. But he said, I can't go back to my old prayer because the rabbi told me it's not good. So he stopped praying at all. Kadosh Baruch Hu came to that rabbi in a dream and said, go back to him. This guy's prayer was breaking the heavens. He said, what a tefillah, what a heartfelt prayer. He says, if I give him sheep, he won't charge me anything because I love you. Could you get a more simple, more honest prayer than that? He's telling him about his true feelings. He's telling him what he really believes. Go tell him to go say those tefillahs as well. So could you imagine a heartfelt prayer combined with the otiyot of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah? That already is nuclear. That already is that much great, which is, you don't have to have all or nothing. You can have, I'm saying all. You can have everything. You can have, Rahmana li baba'e, but you don't have to pray like that farmer did. You can also have the words of the Achikeres Tegedola. There is a custom that some have that they begin the tefillah with Adon Olam. It's in most of the Sidurim, right in the beginning. It's hard to find out exactly why the custom is to sing the Adon Olam in the beginning of the prayer. It's not so. We have it in this book on page 45. Some have said, maybe I saw this from Rav Shimon Schwab, Tefillat Sha'arit is connected to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the first one ever to refer to God as Adon. And therefore, when we begin Sha'arit, we refer to God exactly the way Avraham Avinu did, Adon Olam. But the holy books bring down that the first few lines, Adon Olam Asher Malach, that line, the line of V'hu Haya V'hu Hoveh V'hu Yeyeh B'Tifara, and B'li Reshit B'li Tachlit V'lo Ha'oz V'ham Misra. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has different names. It's important to familiarize ourselves with the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is Adanut, that's the first word of the Amidah, Aleph, Dal, and Nun, Yud. One is Yudke Vavke, which is also, right, the next couple of words in the Amidah, Baruch Atah Hashem. And then you have the word Elokeinu. Let's just review the difference between all these three words. Adanut means Adon HaKol. God is the master of all. That means He's the creator of all. The Adon, the master. Elokeinu refers to God's power. God is almighty. God's strength, God's force. And Yudke Vavke is Haya Hove Yihye. God was, God is, and God will be. That's God's eternal God. Haya Hove Yihye. In the Adon Olam, they wanted to familiarize us at the beginning of the prayer with these three Shemot. So it starts off Adon Olam. Adon Olam is Keneged Adanut. That's the first word of the Amidah. Ve'lo Ha'oz, to God is the strength, to God is the Almighty. That's Keneged Elokeinu. Ve'hu Haya, Ve'hu Hove, Ve'hu Yehye. That's Keneged Havaya Yudke Vavke. So the Adon Olam already gives us a window into the Shemot, the first three Shemot of the Amidah. Adon, Adonai Sefadai Tiftah V'Gidadecha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Yudke Vavke, Elokeinu. So those three Shemot are alluded to right in the beginning, so you could prepare. So you shouldn't go into the Amidah cold without having an understanding. So you have to know there's an Adon Olam, Hashem Sefadai Tiftah. That's Keneged Havaya Yudke Vavke. And Ve'lo Ha'oz, and Mislah, to God is the strength, that's the Almighty, that's Keneged Elokeinu. Shulchan Aruch brings down from the Tur that some have the custom, it's a good custom to adopt when you wake up in the morning, you rinse your mouth out to get rid of the ririn, the mucus and the saliva and all the other things that grow in a person's mouth when he's sleeping, to get rid of it. Rinse it out. Why? Because your mouth is now about to say Shemot HaKedushim. Your mouth is now about to say the word of God. So just like we clean the Bet Knesset, because that's what we pray, so you have to clean the mouthpiece physically, because from that, God's name is going to emanate from it. If you think about it, it is a fascinating concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to say His Shemot. We talk about the letters, yeah? You can imagine the kohot of the Shemot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we have a zechut to even be able to utter God's name. We have to be thankful that He allows us to even to refer to Him by these holy Shemot. In the beginning of the Amidah, we say, Baruch Ata Hashem. Amazing. When I say the word Ata Hashem, I'm talking direct. Ata, you. Ata Hashem, you. Wow. Even a king I have to talk to in third person. Your royalty, your highness. I don't walk into the king and say, you. Hey, you, who are you talking to? You're not so close they could refer to me as you. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry. You can talk to me straight. So we say, Baruch Atah Hashem. But there is a certain part of the Amidah where we turn from direct into third person. For example, we say, Asher kiddeshanu b'mitzvotav. B'mitzvotav, in his mitzvot. That he has sanctified me in his mitzvot. We don't say, Asher kiddeshanu b'mitzvotecha. If I'm talking direct, it should stay direct. Right? Asher kiddeshanu b'mitzvotecha. I'm talking to you. When it comes to the mitzvot, we say, Asher kiddeshanu b'mitzvotav. He commanded me in his mitzvot. Why the change? Yeah? So the explanation is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah. The Torah has 613 commandments. How many did He give us? And how many did Moshe give us? Borei Olam gave us two commandments. Anokhi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yeh Lecha Elohim Acharim. Those two, we heard from God. I am God. That's from Him. There will be no other God. There is no other God. The other 611 we heard from Moshe Rabbeinu. The numerical value of the word Torah is 611. That's what the Pasuk means. Torah Sivalanu Moshe. Yeah. Moshe commanded us Torah, 611. The other two were given to us by God. Hence, whenever we begin the Amidah, we're able to talk to God straight in the two words. Keneged the two mitzvot that He gave us directly. Ata Hashem. You are God that You gave us. So therefore we talk directly. Because You told us Yourself that You are God. You told us Yourself that You're the only one. However, when it comes to the mitzvot of any Moshe Rabbeinu, Asher kiddeshanu b'mitzvotav al yedei acher. The mitzvotav were not given direct. They were given al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu. Hence, kavana. When you say Ata Hashem, you're reminded that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself communicated the mitzvot, and we heard from Bichvodo Ba'atzmo, from God Himself, and therefore nobody could deny it. Nobody could say, how do you believe? My great great grandma, you heard it. You cannot deny it. It's not a belief. Belief is something that you have to believe. I don't have to believe that this is a coffee. I know it's a coffee. Somebody said, I have emunah. It's coffee. Where is emunah? Emunah, you have to believe that there's more coffee downstairs. That's emunah. So I don't know what's going on downstairs. But to tell me there's coffee in the cup is emunah. It's there. It's fact. Those people that heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you didn't have to tell them, oh, do you believe? Believe. I heard. We heard. You don't have to believe anything. I heard it. So therefore, every time you say Ata Hashem, you're reminded that your great grandparents heard Ata, you Hashem spoke to us directly. And therefore we're allowed to talk to you directly because we heard it from you directly. That gives us the power. It's a conversation that we're able to have directly with you. Asher kiddeshanu b'mitzvotav, Torah Sivalanu Moshe. That's the rest of the mitzvot. You see what I'm telling you? I could have just told you, Ata Hashem, you Hashem, means nothing to me. But when you start to know the background, that already means something. Now, I'm not telling you everything is going to stick. Because again, Amidah, we have to take all these Hadushim and try to synthesize it in 3.5 minutes. Because that's how long we allot for an Amidah. Anybody that prays for more than 3.5 minutes, he's a black cat. He's a whatever, extremist. He's a, I don't know, he's a Rebbe. I don't know what he is. What he expects to be. What are you doing? What are you doing so long? So that's the trick over here. To try to fit all these kavanot in 3.5 minutes. We'll have to figure that out towards the end. After we collect all the hadushim together, we'll have to try to capsulize it into a capsule to figure out the methodology, how to do it. But you shouldn't say, how am I going to remember all these things? We throw out ideas, and something sticks. One day you'll be praying the Amidah, Aleph Taf here. What the letters, the kohot, the sohar ta'asir ateva. Put the energy into the letter words. That one day you'll be right. Another day say, Atashe, we heard 2 commandments from God. You'll be saying, Ashikin Shalom Sotaf, Turasaran Moshe. You don't have to remember everything at all times. You'll be singing the Adon Olam. It's, those are the 3 Shemot, the first 3 Shemot of the Abidah. Adon, Adanut, and Havaya, and Elokim, so on and so forth. So you shouldn't be concerned, well, how am I going to do this tomorrow? I can't remember everything. Not necessary. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go explain Baruch. Baruch, for our purposes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all blessings. That's the most accepted interpretation of the word Baruch. The unaccepted interpretation is that we're blessing God. We are not blessing God. God doesn't need our blessing. Baruch is a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the beracha, all the influence, all the blessing, all the goodness, all the shefa, all the ribui, all that comes from where? From you. You're the fountain. In Hebrew, how do you call a fountain? A berecha. Berecha is like a pool. Berecha is a pool that's filled with an abundance. Berecha can also be a fountain. Don't get nervous. So, when we say Baruch, we're comparing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a fountain where all the beracha comes from. What's the benefit of recognizing that? Because when you recognize it, you turn it on. The recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Baruch, is the source, so right away you're coming to Boreolam. I'm coming to you. Why am I coming to you? Because you're the source. You're the source of all the beracha. Not Wall Street, that's for sure, we know. Not government, not my employer, not my bank account, not my rich relative. No, all these are very temporary, as we've seen in our generation. Very temporary. The only one that can really bring beracha into the world is because of Baruch Hu. So right away we saw Baruch, that's an admission. It's an admission. You put your head down, that's why. You put your head down, you're admitting. That's why when you say Baruch, you bow. Because you're humbling yourself that there's no kohot, there's no powers. All the beracha is from God, the source. You're in front of the source now. Oh, the zechut, we're going right to the source. Cut out all the middlemen. What do you got? Hashem is so kind to us. You don't got to go to the angels. Come straight to me. Don't waste your time in the waiting room. Come straight to me. Tell me what you want. Baruch. Baruch is Rashi Tevot. You guys like Rashi Tevot? I saw a nice Rashi Tevot over here. So I'll give it to you. Baruch is Rashi Tevot. Be patient. We want to say everything correctly. I don't want to make a mistake. I should have written it down. Let me see if I can figure it out myself. Baruch, Bet, Resh,
Vav Chaf.
Something to the fact that Resh is Ribui and the Chaf is Kol. Ribui Kol. All the abundance. What are we left with? Bet and a Vav. Ribui Kol. Maybe the Vav is Ve'ata. Come to me. But this is a Rashi Tevot. It's not written by any Kabbalah or anything. It's just a remez to remember it. But the point is, all the ribui from the world, now we go to Atta. When you say Atta, number one, it's direct to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that should put a tremendous fear in a person. Who are you? Who are you that you have a right to come and talk to God so directly? It's very humbling, the Atta. That's why also in Atta we also bow. I told you the bowing, Baruch, you're bowing your body, the spine, the 18 vertebrae, and the Atta, you're bowing your head. Because all these words are subjugation words. Baruch, an admission. You're the source of all the blessings. And nothing else in the world. Bow. Go down. Atta. The Atta, you're bowing because in Arabic we say the word Aib. It's not nice. Who are you to say the words? You're embarrassed to look at God. Atta, look straight in the face. You know, so I put my head down. Atta. But why are you saying the word then? Only because you said I have to say it. If that chicken is the girl didn't put that word in the Amidah, that's why you say Shem Sefatai Tiftah. There's a lot of words in this book here. It's not becoming for me to talk to you like, but the book says it. So therefore, we put our head down in shame. Atta. Don't want to look straight. That's why it says in the Mishnah, it says, Da me'ayin bata. ולאן אתה הולך? ולפני מי אתה עתיד ייתן דין וחשבון? Know where you came from, know where you're going, and know in front of who you're going to have to give judgment. So one rabbi said, דה מאין באת, where you came from, we're nothing, we came from טיפס רוחה. And therefore, ולאן אתה הולך? The אתה that you say in the עמידה, know where it's going. This Atta that you're saying in the Amidah, you're talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu, know where you came from, Ul'an Atta, and where the Atta that you're saying is Olech, it's going in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, if you're not going to have Kavanah, V'lifne, before you say, V'lifne mi Atta, Atid li ten din v'chashbon, V'lifne mi Atta, in front of the the one that you're saying Atta, you're going to have to give Din B'Hashbon. So therefore, prepare yourself before you say that word. Wow. That you shouldn't just say it quickly. You have to recognize who you're standing. Da lefne mi Atta Omed. Da lefne mi Atta Omed. In front of the Atta, you're standing in front of Atta. You're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then you cannot swallow it. Baruch, source of all blessings. Atta, lefne mi Atta. Mi ata, ma ata. Who are you that you can say ata? Baruch ata Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Simple kavanot. Yud Kei Vav Kei, Adon HaKol, Haya Hove Yehye. Don't confuse yourself. Whenever you say Yud Kei Vav Kei, Adon HaKol, like we say Ado, and Haya Hove Yehye. Elokeinu means God is the Almighty. Almighty is all-powerful. I explained what this means. A creator creates something. After he creates it, he's removed from his creation. The one that made this tissue box, where is he today? He's blowing his nose. I don't know where he is. He's not here. He left. He's gone. The one that made the building, he builds the building, and that's it. He goes away. The one that builds the building goes to sleep, the building still stays without him. You don't need the builder to be intimately involved in the building after he builds it. But Elokeinu means that God is the Almighty Creator, that every second He's involved in His creation. That means He's constantly infusing the energy into the Bidiyah, that the Bidiyah should be able to sustain itself. Therefore, He's a Creator. Like, no, that means Almighty. Almighty, that He's involved in the Bidiyah at every moment. He's creating every second. That's one interpretation. The Gaon Mevilna had another interpretation. He said like this. Whenever you say Yudke Vavke, that refers to the Hashkahava Kadosh Baruch Hu over the whole world. Actually, we say it better. Can I say it better? There's three levels here. Whenever you say Yudke Vavke, that's Borei Olam, that's God, that's Ne'alam. That's Hashem's name, that's all the kohot in those four letters, that's beyond us. Yudke Vavke is God. Elokeinu, that God that is so far, Ni'alam, in Kol, Rayon, in Nisgav, He's Elokeinu, but He's my God. He's personally involved in what's called Hashkaha Peratit. He knows everything that's taking place in my life to the micro. He knows every single detail, even though He's Hashem. He's far, you know, who knows what Hashem is. Concept is, Hashem's great. But that same God that could be so far, at the same time He's Hashem, He's Elokeinu. Elokeinu is personal. Hashem is not personal, Hashem is universal. Far away. Elokeinu is our God. He's my God. He knows me. He knows me. He knows what I'm doing. That's the micromanagement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we say after Elokeinu, Melech HaOlam, that not only is He, not in Damida, in the regular Baracha, not only is He intimately involved and knows what I'm doing, but He macro manages the whole world as well. Just like He knows the major things that are taking place in the Olam, the wars, the famines, the diseases, that's the Melech HaOlam. But He's also Elokeinu. He also knows that I have to pay the electric bill this week. He also knows that I'm looking for a job. He also knows that I have this problem and I have to do this. And all those little things. He also knows everything, what's going on. So look at the words here. These are all revelations for us. Number one, Hashem. Or Ne'alam. Yudke Vavke. You could talk about Yudke Vavke. It's Yudke Vavke stands for the four olamot. Asilud, Biriya, Yisida, Asiya. They're high things. Olamot. Oh, we don't know about olamot. That's far from us. But that God that's Ne'alam, He's Elokeinu. He's private. He knows what I'm doing. Yeah, you mean God knows what I'm doing? He knows everything. He's involved. You shouldn't think He forgot about you. You shouldn't think He abandoned you. He never abandons you. He knows. And not only does He know on the private, but Melech HaOlam, He's taking care of the whole general as well, general public. That's the three levels. A beracha has to have those three parts. It has to have Hashem, and it has to have Elokeinu Melech HaOlam to be a beracha. That's the Baruch, that's the Hashem, that's the Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Problem is the first beracha, the Amida, doesn't have Melech HaOlam. Mm-hmm. This is a big problem. So what do you want to do to solve this problem? So the Tosafot asks this question in Masechet Berachot. What do you do with Melech HaOlam? The Zohar HaKadosh says that the Melech HaOlam is so important that the Ikar of the Shefa comes down when you say Melech HaOlam. I explain. The whole goal of saying Berachot is what? To open up the faucets in the heaven to bring down. The Zohar writes, you can't bring down unless you start doing something on earth to shake it. You need what's called Itarutan del Tata to inspire Itarutan del Ayla. You can't just say, open sesame. Open sesame. You can't take out your flute and start making the Pied Piper and expect the shofar to come down from the sky. You need to do something on earth to nu'oz l'Elohim. So what do? When you say in the Beracha, Melech Ha'olam, you're subjugating yourself that there's a Melech. If there's a Melech, that means you're a servant. At that moment, when God sees you accepting upon yourself His Malchut, and you're subjugating yourself, that God is the King of the world and you're only a subject, that creates it Arutad del Tata, which creates it Arutad del Alan of a sudden. So if you would ask me in a Beracha, Melech HaOlam is vital. That's what the Gemara says. Without Melech HaOlam, there's no Beracha. It doesn't work. You know, you could say, God, you're the fountain. Baruch. Atta, the letters. But Melech HaOlam is the key. Oh, so where is it? It's not in the first Beracha HaMidah. So the Gemara says, oh, the time is late already. Ah, but I won't leave you in the cliffhanger. The Tosafot answers and says, when you say Elohe Abraham is like saying Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, because Abraham Avinu publicized the Malchut of God throughout the world. Abraham was the one that spread monotheism. Et ha-nefesh asher asu b'haran. Abraham is the one that publicized the Malchut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when you say Elohe Abraham, that's like you said Melech HaOlam. So you have to think of Elohe Abraham. Not only Abraham is Chesed, of course, but that's Malchut Shamayim, because Abraham Abinu told everybody there's a Melech to the world. What does it say there?
No, it's special.
That we know. But the Tosafot says that that's where the Malchut is. Oh, now I'm going to tell you a Hadush. Bring me Elliot, a Chumash. I'll tell you a Hadush in Amidana. Parashat Lech Lecha. In the beginning of Parashat Lech Lecha, we say right in the beginning, Ve'arizka legoy gadol, Ve'abarechecha, Ve'agadala shemecha, Ve'yeh beracha. So Rashi says these three things, Ve'arizka legoy gadol, Ve'abarechecha, Ve'agadala shemecha. So she says like this, Ve'eschad egoi gadol, ze she'omrim Elohe Abraham. Ve'abarech echa, ze she'omrim Elohe Yitzhak. Ve'agadala shemecha, ze she'omrim Elohe Yaakov. Yachol yu chotmim bechulan? You think you're going to say, Baruch atah Hashem, again Abraham, Yitzhak, ve'Yaakov? Tamud va ve'yeh beracha. Becha yu chotmim. The beracha is going to be on you, Magen Abraham. But based on what we're saying today, we could say different. The Beracha of the Amidah, the first Beracha is not a Beracha legally, because it's missing Melech HaOlam. What makes Melech HaOlam? Elohe Abraham. Oh, so it says V'hiye Beracha. The Beracha is going to be a Beracha, you know why? Because of you. Because of you, Abraham. Because you're the Malchut. You're the one that publicized Malchut Shamayim Ve'yeh Beracha. The first Beracha of Amidah is legitimate again. The last Chiddush I want to tell you, even though there's much more to say, are we rushing? I don't think our sponsor said there's a cap. He said as long as it takes you to go. I initially told him it's going to take us 18 Shiurim for the first Beracha of Amidah. Let me see what the rest of it. The last thing I'm going to tell you is like this. Oh, if you count, we say Elohe Abraham, Elohe Yitzhak, Ve'Elohe Yaakov. We'd have to put that vav in there for you. Say Elohe Yitzhak, Say Elohe Abraham, Elohe Yitzhak, Elohe Yaakov. What did he do? I want to show you every letter is measured, signed, and numbered. Everything is measured and counted. How many letters? Elohe Abraham, Elohe Yitzhak, Elohe Yaakov. Count them. I want to hear.
16.
No. Wrong.
26.
26, exactly. It's Keneged Shem Yudke Vavke. You say Elohe Abraham, Elohe Yitzhak, Elohe Yaakov. That Vav is key. In order you're able to get to the 26. The letters Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. The letters Abraham. How many letters in Abraham? Aleph, Bet, Resh, Mem. 5. Yitzhak, Yud, Sadi, Het, Kof. That's 9. Yaakov, Yud, Ayin, Kof, Bet. Is 13. 13 is connected to the word Ahava. That's why we say Umibi Goel, Ibne, Bnehem, Shemad, Shemo, Ahava. Ahava is 13. Connected the letters of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. But they were married. Somebody once told me, oh, the Amidah has prejudice. The Amidah doesn't have the Imahot. So these feminists, these vandals, they went into the Amidah and they wrote, Elohe Abraham, Elohe Yitzhak, Elohe Yaakov, Elohe Sarai, Elohe Rivka, they feminized the Amidah. They thought they're smarter than the chicken as the Gedolah. But they didn't realize that the chicken is the Gedolah in their wisdom. They wanted to write the Amidah the way they wanted to do it with the Kavanot. How many Imahot do we have?
Four.
Arba Imahot. Sarah, Rifka, Rachel, Leah. Yeah? Sarah, how many letters?
Three.
Sarah, Rifka, is 4 letters. That's 7. Rachel, Leah.
13. 6.
That's 13.
13.
Oh, so 13 and 13. That's 26. So you see, the marriages of the Avot, the Imahot, 26, Shem Hashem. That's why we say at the end of the Amidah, of the first Beracha, Umebi Goed Ibn Ibrahim Naman Shemo, Be Ahaba, Bet Ahaba. Ahaba times 2. 30, that's what it says, Be Ahaba. 2 Ahabas. Ahaba and Ahaba. Can I get the Avot and the Imahot? So they're alluded in there. Don't be nervous. Tzadikim did not forget. And there's a reason why the Avot are explicit. And that's for another shi'ur. But that's already something that you can think. When you say Elohe Avraham, Elohe Yitzchak, Elohe Yaakov, it's 26 letters. The Avot themselves. That's why. Why don't you use Yaakov's Israel's name? Because if you're going to use Israel, it's going to be too many letters. And that's because we want it to equal 26 with the Avot Nimahot. And I'll conclude with that's what David HaMelech meant when he said, Lule Adonai Shehayalanu Yomarna Israel. If it wasn't for the fact that we wanted to come to Hashem Yudke Vavke, we would have said Yisrael. Lule Adonai Shehayalanu. If it wasn't for the fact that we want to get to 26, Yomana Yisrael, we'd say Yisrael Namida. But we don't say Yisrael Namida because we need to get to 26.